Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Once Kwame Onwuachi decided to become a professional chef, he didn't waste any time. Before he was 27 years old, Kwame had opened and closed one of the most talked-about restaurants in America. He had also launched his own catering company and appeared as a contestant on Bravo's Top Chef. He's captured all of this in his memoir, Notes from a Young Black Chef.
My love of cooking came from my mother, honestly. I started cooking kind of out of necessity. She had a catering business that she operated from the house, and me and my sister were her first two employees.
When you were 10 years old, your mother sent you to Nigeria to live with your paternal grandfather for the summer. Why?
Well, I was veering off on the wrong path, as that's easy to do growing up in the South Bronx, and she wanted to nip that in the bud and send me to a place where I would pretty much appreciate all the opportunities that I had here, that I took for granted, even the small things, like, you know, this cup of water that I'm drinking, or the electricity. So that's the short answer of why she sent me to Nigeria.
Yeah, and also, as you write in the book, she wanted you to learn respect, right?
Absolutely.
Did you agree with her that you needed to learn that?
Not at the time, no. Of course not. I was a 10-year-old kid, you know, thought everything that I did was right.
Mm-hmm.
It taught me a lot, you know, and I think even when I came back, it wasn't instantaneous that I understood what I had been through. It was as I got older, I started to appreciate the things, the small things. That experience really started to develop me as a young man.
So what do you remember most about your time with your grandfather in Nigeria?
What I remember most about it is kind of the creativity that was sparked. You know, we didn't have electricity, so me and my cousins that were out there, we had to figure out how to recreate that environment that we were so used to back in America, you know, turning on the PlayStation or Dreamcast, which was out when I was there. We didn't have any of that, so we had to make up games, and that's what really kind of sparked my creativity, and that's what I remember a lot.
At the end of August, you called your mother to find out when you were coming home because you thought you were just going to be there for the summer, and then what did she tell you?
She told me I'm staying there until I learn respect. It was eye-opening. You know, I pretty much just dropped the phone and walked out of the call center in shambles and then, you know, spent the next 2 years in Nigeria learning respect.
Yeah. Did your grandfather say anything to you? Did he give you kind of any a life lesson in the form of words of wisdom just before you left after those 2 years to come back to the U.S.?
Yeah. He told me that I had connected with my home and my ancestors and, you know, I have a deeper understanding, and this will shape me as a man, having that connection to back home.
Yeah. Was there a moment, some kind of an epiphany that you experienced in your life when you realized that you wanted to be a professional chef?
Yeah, there was absolutely this epiphany moment. It happened in New York City. I was doing my first catering event. First of all, I wasn't even a caterer at the time, but I walked into a store in Soho, and this young lady was working the register. I thought she was just a clerk, and we struck up a conversation and find out she was the owner of the store. She was like, we just opened the store last week. I want to do a huge launch party for it. I'm looking for a caterer. She was just talking to me, and I was like, oh, you're looking for a caterer? I'm a caterer. You know, my mother had a catering company growing up, so I was like, you know, why don't I shoot my shot at this opportunity?
It's not such a stretch.
Exactly. So she was like, you're a caterer? How old are you? I was like, ma'am, this is irrelevant. Do you need a caterer or not? She's like, yeah, I need a caterer. I really want to have these like miniature cheesecakes, these mini strawberry cheesecakes. Can you do cheesecakes? Because that's like the only thing that I really want. Everything else is pretty much fair game. I was like, please don't disrespect me, okay? Like, I know how to cook. Totally bluffing. I never made a cheesecake in my life. So I had to go back home. So we agreed on doing a tasting the next morning. So I went back home and I started making cheesecakes all night long. And if you know anything about making a cheesecake, it's a long process. You have to make the batter, cook it, let it cool before you can understand what the true texture is. And that's like a 3-hour process. So first time, horrible. Second time, it was gritty. Third time, I like curdled the eggs. Now we're at, you know, about 9 hours. It's what, 7 a.m., 6 a.m. in the morning. You can start hearing the city coming alive. And at that moment, I was like, I looked at the kitchen. It was a mess. But I hadn't been on my phone this whole time. I hadn't stopped to talk to anybody.
Too busy.
I was so focused on making this cheesecake. And at that moment, I'd never done anything like that. I never have been as focused on anything. You know, I have ADHD. Like, at that moment, I was like, this is what I need to be doing. You know, this has calmed me.
Fast forward a few years, and you're attending the Culinary Institute of America.
Mm-hmm. My dream.
Yeah, and while you're attending there, you did an internship, or what CIA calls an externship, and you did this internship at Thomas Keller's restaurant Per Se, which was this huge deal, and still is this huge deal in New York City. And while you were working there, you experienced some abuse in the kitchen. Can you tell me what happened?
Unfortunately, it's what happens in the industry. You go to these extern sites or internships, and you're rode really, really hard. Some places harder than others. It's the old saying of, you know, that's kind of like where you cut your teeth in the industry. So the intricacies of that you can pick out in the book. There was definitely some times that it was of what I felt was some underlying racial tension, you know, from some of the cooks, some of the people that were in charge. And it's unfortunate because you're there for a passion. You know, you're there to give something your all. You're there to put your head down and just work. Having to feel that you're already not equal because you're at the bottom of the totem pole in the hierarchy, but then to add on another level of something that you can't control, you know, and that's something that I used to talk to myself about. I was born this way. I was born with this colored skin, you know. It's an unfortunate circumstance.
A TV producer once told you that you wouldn't make it on television because your cooking wasn't Southern enough. Can you tell me about this incident?
Yeah, so, you know, the television producer, I had to do a tasting for her in order to get on this show, essentially. And I did, I would say, a wildly refined 3-course lunch. And she told me my food was too refined and my skin was too dark. In order to do this type of cuisine, I would need to be white, essentially. And I don't think she was being malicious in her delivery. She was just a person that was in the business and giving it to me straight about what the audience was looking for at the time. And she also said, if I wanted to cook soul food, we can probably do this again. And that could be an avenue that we can try to go down. I was not going to compromise who I was in order to get a TV show at the time.
You didn't want to cook soul food because that wasn't really who you were.
No.
You did appear on television, though, as a contestant on the Bravo reality series Top Chef.
I'm really excited to compete in Last Chance Kitchen. I just want to get in there and get back in the game. I'm opening my restaurant soon, so winning Top Chef would really put my restaurant on the map and help me open up more restaurants around the country and even the world.
Hey, Kwame.
How you doing, Chef?
Good. Welcome to Last Chance Kitchen.
Thank you.
Can you tell me about your last elimination challenge?
Oh, yes. My last elimination challenge, we had to do a fast casual concept. I chose to do chicken and waffles. I used to do it a lot when I did catering. And I used Eggo waffles, or not Eggo, just like store-bought waffles instead of making my own. I couldn't procure a waffle iron, honestly, until halfway through the preparation. And by then, my mind was already made up. I was like super nervous. So I thought I could like toast them in butter and fry the chicken and season it really, really well, and that didn't really turn out well for me.
Kwame, your concept was very focused.
I was really focusing on giving you the standard chicken and waffle and just making it delicious and one bite, essentially.
Your dish had way too much technical precision and didn't feel like a fast casual dish.
Chicken and waffles, we've seen it. What excited me about your menu is seeing a sweet potato waffle and a coriander waffle. If you had made your own, then we would have had something really unique.
It's very difficult to send somebody home who cooks at the caliber that both of you do, but that is the nature of the competition. Kwame, please pack your knives and go.
You and your friend Greg were able to open your dream restaurant in D.C. a couple years ago, Shaw Bijou. What I found very intriguing was you wanted to tell your life story through the food that you served there. So can you tell me how you translated the story of your life to the food you served at Shaw Bijou?
I told into probably like an anecdotal tale throughout 18 courses, essentially. So, you know, the first course was like about my grandmother who's Jamaican, you know, and it was like jerk duck prosciutto with like chicken liver pate, spiced like andouille, and a couple other things. So that was like the cheese and charcuterie board. And then, you know, you come into the kitchen and there's chicken and lamb over rice, which I ate in New York City all the time from the halal carts, you know, but instead we did like lamb sweetbread on a basmati rice chip glazed in chicken jus with like a white sesame emulsion and Kashmiri pepper puree. So like the hot sauce, white sauce. So it was like that, like little tales that surrounded my life, all put on a menu.
Kwame Onwuachi is the author of Notes from a Young Black Chef. You can find out more about Kwame at WPR.org/beta. Well, Beta's been eliminated for this week. If you want to hear it again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta podcast via iTunes or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And make sure to let us know what you think by leaving a rating or a comment. You can keep up with us during the week online at WPR.org/beta or on Twitter at WPRBeta. Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Production.
You don't sell the steak, you sell the sizzle.
Our technical and music director is Steve Gotcher.
Steven, please pack your knives and go.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
Adam, please pack your knives and go.
And thanks to you, our alphas. Until next week, I'm Doug Gordon.
Doug, please pack your knives and go.